As you can tell from my screen, that I've relocated myself actually in my study, because of my back condition, sitting a little bit more comfortably. I look a little, I'm smaller. My face is not as big. I hope this is okay. I think the main thing is really to hear me more than to see me. This being the first time we're gathered for this 2024, I have a particular burden not to immediately jump back into, as it were, the fellowship according to the burden of shepherding. I will tell you that burden is still strong and present. We will get back into that. However, at this time, we're still in the first month in January. I always have deep feelings about a new turn of season, and particularly a brand new year. And I spoke in time past here and there concerning the importance of a new year in the Christian life, and even the necessity of a new start for each one of us. Now, of course, we are not religiously, ritualistically tying ourselves to some physical dates and times of a calendar year. We're not celebrating the new year. We're not doing any of that. The truth of the matter is that in our experience, we should experience the renewing of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, not in an annual basis. The word in 2 Corinthians says that while our outer man is being consumed, in every way, not just our body, but our outer man is being consumed, but our inner man or inward man is being renewed day by day. It is interesting that Paul would add that adverb, day by day. So at the very least, the renewal that should be going on in a proper Christian, a Christian that is going on, that is advancing, that is in fellowship with the Lord, that is growing, should be a daily affair. So we even have this kind of word, right? Be revived every morning. Am I right? That means every day at the start of a new day. So, but there's something about a new year, as we will see today, in the Old Testament. And of course, we're using that as a type to help us know the significance of new beginnings to God, and in the way that God would do things. And hopefully, with this word, we would all be encouraged. We would all be exhorted to apply it to our lives today, and I would say even our lives at this very moment in the start of 2024. In the recent semi-annual training, I gave the last message, message 12, you may recall. I did remember I pray a particularly long prayer at the start of the message, to the Father. thanking him for revealing to us this all-inclusive Christ as our good land that he has allotted to us for us to gain, for us to possess, for us to experience and to labor on. And it, because it is only by that or through that that his house or his dwelling place can issue forth, and even the kingdom with the city, and that is his dominion, can be established. So, and that all in the subject of the all-inclusive Christ being the subject of the first conference ever that I should not say ever, but the first conference that Brother Lee gave that really marked or signaled a new beginning, I would dare say, based on my study, it's my opinion, a new start in Brother Lee's own life and ministry, that would mark the start of his work of the recovery in this country, the United States, and I would even say in the whole Western Hemisphere. And it also marked major pivot or turn or advance, ascension in his own ministry. Right around that time, Brother Lee would have served alongside Brother Watchman Nee for not quite 20 years in China mainland, and then another 10 years or a little bit more in the island of Taiwan, bringing it into a total of about 30 years. He is already a experienced minister, a very mature worker, but he was in his late 50s and getting close to his close to 60. I mean, typically that would be the time you go retire. But in this case, with this minister of the age, not only there was no retirement, there was a call to the second and more important phase of his ministry for the next 35 years, from 1962 to 1997. So you can say the first phase of his ministry was in the Far East, 30 years or so. And then the next phase is 35 years in the West, or based in the West. And that that 65 years comprise our brother's ministering life and duration. And so that 1962 conference, in many ways, is a watershed moment, a demarcation line with with momentous importance. So I am just not trying to get into history here, but in a talking kind of a way to let you know that this matter of newness, of fresh advance, of new seeking and new going progress is that something that even a brother, a special vessel of God, a servant of the Lord, a minister of the age like Brother Lee, experience. And I don't need to really belabor the point, but I also like to tell you that's also the case with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, if you read his epistles, First Corinthians, Philippians, and then of course, Second Timothy, at the very end. There's even one verse in the book of Hebrews, if we believe that he is the author of that epistle, Paul likened his course on the earth, his ministry, to be a race, to a race. Am I right? So he ran that race from the start when he was called by the Lord on the way to Damascus. At his conversion, he began that race, and then he continued to run that race, stage by stage, doing his best to run well, not beating the air, not wasting his time. He was running, and even in the book of Philippians, where he was in prison, he was not yet, of course, not yet martyred. That would be still maybe a year away or two. I don't have it in front of me. He said, "I do not count myself to have gained or to have attained." Such a mature servant of God, close to the end of his life, still said that I'm not there yet. I don't have that assurance, but I pursue. I'm still persecuting Christ. I'm still running. I'm still reaching forward. So he said, he admonished us to be like him, to what? Forget what is behind and reaching forward to what is before. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? This is our brother Paul, and there, excuse me, he urged us to do the same thing, to run this race until we have arrived. He said, even if you're full grown, even you have certain spiritual attainment, you should have the same mind. Whereunto any of us have attained, we all have to walk according to this same rule. What rule? The rule of non-stop pursuit of Christ, thinking that one thing. You see? So it does not matter where you are, how old you are. Some of us here may be new brothers and sisters, relatively speaking. Some of us, myself included, are over 70, advanced in years, and have been many years in the church life. It does not matter. Even us oldies, we need to have this in our mind to pursue. We are not, our journey have not ended. Our race is not finished. We should be following Paul to what? To continue to pursue. But until we would lay hold of Christ fully, as he has laid hold of us, this is towards the goal of the prize which Christ in God in Christ Jesus has called us upward. There is a continuing call, brothers and sisters, all the time from God, for us to go upward. Brother Lee, at the end of his life, the last few months, he wrote something like this, and the brothers read it or shared that we have to go level by level. Am I right? Stage by stage until we arrive at the final goal, where there is nothing, there's no natural man, there is no nothing more of the old creation. There is just the spirit, and so on and so forth. Well, brothers, I feel there's much burden in my heart in the new beginning of another year to cause us all to hear this call again. God is calling us. He's still calling us. I mean, If God is not calling us, we are of people most miserable. Am I right? That means we have been abandoned. God is still calling us, and God has a single call to us, of course, a great call, and we have all been called according to His glory, unto His glory. We know that, and that is for our entire life. But this morning, I'd like to strongly impress upon all of us that this race that we're all in is not a single course, all right? Just like the Tour de France, it is a 30-day bike race through 1,000 miles, or I don't know however far, and it's a 30-day period, and every day you have to ride a sub course, a part of that course. Some are on the hills, in the mountains, some are on the flat land. They're all different, and you have to run those courses every day, you see? And cumulatively, you would have what? Finish the entire course. So our life should likewise, our spiritual life should be divided into phases, all right? And we are, if our job is to run the present course, the present phase faithfully, desperately, like Paul, persecuting Christ. Don't worry about the future phases. It's not here yet. And forget about the past phase. Some of you sitting here may say, oh, last year was, I floundered and I really messed up. I even drop out of the race. Maybe so, but God is still calling. This is a new year. All right. Forget what is behind. Look forward. You know, the word in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus. Look forward. Look at him. Aim at him. And what? Pick yourself up and run this race again. Isn't that a mercy of God that he would not abandon us? You have to really realize we run these shorter courses, and then together, when they're added together, we run the whole course. Our responsibility right now today is, shall I say, 2024. Okay, I don't say this in a religious way or in a legal way, but you get my point. This is a new year. Brothers and sisters, shall we not all heed the 2024 call, the call for this stretch of our race, and run this race well this year? This is really the burden for what I'm going to fellowship today with you, for yet another new beginning, yet another new phase. This is based on the Lord's calling. And if you go and read the Song of Songs, you know, that book, you will find that in those six stages, there's six stages in the Song of Songs. It's in, and that comprise the structure, the outline of the book Song of Songs. But my point is, in every stage almost, but at least in spirit, in every stage, there is a fresh call by the beloved. Come, he would say, come. You know, in the first phase, he would say, the seeker would say, draw me, and that drawing is the calling. You know, God's calling us is God's drawing us. In the era of Chaldea, God appeared to Abraham to what? To call him or to draw him. The God of glory drew Abraham or Abram and called Abram out of the lands of idols to cross that great river and enter into the land that God has prepared for him and his descendants. And then in the second stage in Song of Songs, you have this word, my beloved responds, you know, because this seeker was looking for the Lord. He was enjoying the Lord, very satisfied, and in some ways very contented. But the beloved was not. The beloved has better things prepared. The beloved want him to want her to not stay where he's at, not be happy and satisfied. Come forward. So he said what? Rise up, my love. You see this? My beauty, and come away. He repeated himself. Rise up, my love, my beauty, and come away. Brothers, I am not the Lord, but I want to be one with the Lord and say to all of you, rise up. It's 2024. Rise up and come away with the Lord. Rise up. Don't just stay where you are. It's a new phase. It's a new stage of this race. Get in on this race. All right? Get in on this stage. And so this seeker was stirred up to run and seek the Lord. It's like in a new stage, she lost the Lord, you know, presence. Why? Because the Lord was not trying to play hide and seek. The Lord was trying to what? To draw him or her further. And so he sort of kind of stayed away and hid himself so that he sought, she sought and found him not. But the Lord was merely trying to what? To call her into a deeper experience of himself and of the cross and of eventually of ascension, of the new creation in resurrection, etc. And then in the third stage, he said, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come, come. There's a call. Don't you feel there's a call within you, brothers and sisters, even now? I feel the Lord is calling me. Minoru Chen, call. Come, come. 2024 now. Come. I don't care where you are, what stage you're at, how old you are. Come with me. You're not there yet. We are not there yet, he said. And then the next one, he didn't say, come. He said, open to me, my sister, my love. Open. That means what? That means have a new beginning. Open to me. I have something more for you. I have something more to say to you. And so on. And then in the next phase, he said, come, my beloved. This time, it's interesting, by the way, it is not the Lord saying coming. It's the seeker saying coming. The seeker saying, come, my beloved, let's go into the fields. And in the last stage, this most mature seeker of the Lord had her last prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, which in the book of Song of Songs is make haste, my beloved. So in the end, it is the seeker calling the Lord, but at least in the four stages before that, it was the Lord continuously calling her forward from stage to stage. So I hope these days, brothers and sisters, my burden, as you know, always is that you will spend time with the Lord. I gave a talk, a year end or a year start talk about 3 years ago or something. You can find that in Living to Him website there. I talk about what we should do in the new year. How should we spend this a special dedicated time to the Lord to respond to His new calling? I talk about we need to review what the Lord has done in our life, His work of grace in our lives. Am I right? We need to re-evaluate where we are relative to His last call to us. We need to have a renewal of our pledge, of our love, of our vows to him. We, in other words, we need to reconsecrate ourselves, so and so on. All of this is a time of a fresh dealing with the Lord in response to his call to run the next stage of this race. And I hope, may I just adjure you, brothers and sisters, find the time. It's still January, okay? We're 2 weeks in. We're still at the start of this new year. It's still early. Find a time. Take a day off. What is a day, brothers and sisters, compared to eternity? Find a number of hours and just go up to the mountain, go to the park, go into your inner chamber. I don't know where. Go into your garden, your backyard, with nobody, just you, personally, secretly, with your Lord, and open to him and pray to him and let him speak. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here. This is the beginning of the new year. I'm here to have many conversations and also many transactions with you, and I want to receive a fresh calling from you and a fresh commission from you. Lord, I'm just here. Speak to me. I'm open to you. Lord, touch my past, my last stage of running. Touch my present, and speak to me about the future in this next stage. Lord, how do you want me to run? How do you want me to advance? What am I short in? What went wrong in the past? I don't mean in a way of introspection. I mean in a way of allowing the Lord to touch you and speak you. Don't run around. Half an hour won't do it. Okay, it does. Brothers and sisters, learn to spend more time stationary, okay? Stop yourself and sanctify yourself just to be with the Lord in the King's chamber. And I will guarantee you, if you are like this with the Lord, waiting on him like this, the Lord will appear to you. And he will start to touch things that you never thought of. He will ex come to you as the light to shine on something that you never think about. It could be some sin, some besetting sin. It could be some idols of the world that have distracted you, that have drawn you away from him, the fountain of living waters. It could be a particular command from him in the past that you failed to heed. You failed to heed his word, to obey his charge to you in a particular way. I don't know, but he knows, because he is the one who searches the heart, and he is the one who knows all of our inward parts. So open to him. Don't be afraid. Just bare your whole being, bare your soul, bare your entire being, and just let him shine and speak. And he will come. And one speaking will lead to another speaking. One touch will lead to another touch. And before you know it, hours would go by. And you are there just in deep, conversation with the Lord, one thing after another. And after some time, you just feel the Lord has gone through so many things. You have many confessions, you have much repentance. You just feel clean. You just feel there is a new start. You just feel that there is a lot of adjustment, that the Lord has done, and a lot of cleansing that have taken place. You know, brothers and sisters, yes, we all have been redeemed. We have been saved once and for all. But today we still need the propitiating blood of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Because we're still in the old creation. We still fail. We still need his what? His cleansing. We still need further sanctification. And then the Lord may not be done yet. You said, oh, this is good enough. The Lord may say, not done yet. The Lord may, you may set, you may, the Lord may call you, draw you to for spend another time with him, another day. Yeah. One time is not enough. And the Lord will pick up from there, and he may start to commission you to speak to you about your service, about your work in him, about your church life, about your relationship with the saints, about so many things that he want to transact with you. So you continue to deal with him. Lord, I do this. Lord, this new year, what do you want me to do? Tell me. Lord, if you don't give the orders, I don't know how to march. If you don't direct me, I don't know where to go. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is here. Speak to me. And so the Lord would put something in your heart, you see? So, dear brothers and sisters, I hope by this we can all have a new start this year. Now, today, with the remaining time for this first session, I like to say something about this. First of all, what I'm saying to you is recorded already. You can read it. It is a word, a message given by Brother Lee. I don't know, a message or a talk, but given right during that All-Inclusive Christ Conference in 1962. It is possible that he gave this on the last day of that year, the 31st of December, because that is the last day of the conference. And he made references to this. He said, I want to say a few words to you, the saints, as we approach the end of the year. So perhaps not the last day, but close to the end of 1962 and proceed into a new year. He said, first, this is, I'm quoting Brother Lee, I'm burdened that we would pray for the recovery of the all-inclusive Christ. I think at the end, I pray some that prayer after message 12 in this recent training. Lord, 2024 is a fresh calling for us to what? To enter and take the good land, the all-inclusive Christ, something like this. And that's what Brother Lee said. And then we would also pray for the genuine expression of such a Christ among God's people. We would pray that the Lord would recover these two items, especially in these days, early 60s, and especially in the United States. Brother Lee was so burdened because he himself is having a new beginning in the U.S. Now, that fellowship that you can go to is in this Collected Works of Watchman Witness Lee, 1961 and 62, Volume 4. Okay. In fact, I will give you the pages 507 to 510, 510, in that volume. And here he mentioned this line, this particular utterance in the Old Testament in four places. The first day of the first month of the year. The first day of the first month of the year. This is a particular utterance in the Old Testament. In there are four cases. I will not get into it. You can read it. The first one have to do with the let me see here. Have to do with Noah after the flood, okay, at the 600th first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the water dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering of the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry. This is very much like Genesis 1. Am I right? On the third day, the dry land appeared. That dry land is the resurrected Christ who came out of death, which is the sea, all right? The waters in the of the deep. So when that land came out in Genesis, that land is the source, it's the place where life is generated. Vegetable life, animal life, even the human life came out of that land. It is the source of life, this Christ. And here, after man fell to the uttermost, God flooded the earth and the dry land reappeared. And this is the same Christ. It just like in Genesis 1, that was a recreation of the earth. That was a restoration of a destroyed earth. Here it is again with Noah, a reappearance of the land, a new beginning of God with his people, of a destroyed earth with a new covenant, a new age. And that occur in the first month and the first day of the month. And so with Noah, humankind have a new beginning. God is doing something new on the earth. And that land, that new land, is always a picture of what? Of resurrection, of newness of life and of light. So, brothers and sisters, this new year we are now having, this new beginning, have to start with resurrection. Have to start with Christ as our resurrection. The song which we sang, right? In number 16, that we sang just now about the evergreen Father, the ever new God. It talks about a new covenant, a new ways, and new spirit, and new heart, and so on. This is it. This is the resurrected Christ. A new beginning. We start in resurrection with this resurrected Christ. A dry land resurrected from the deep waters of death. So that there would be a new beginning with newness of life and light. Everything is new. Well, dear saints, this is another third day for us in this new year. This is another experience of Christ's resurrection. This is another experience of the third day of Christ as the Lamb for the generation of life. For us to go on this year, it is for us to enjoy this land in a new way. I'd like to ask, brothers and sisters, is Christ a new land to you? Or is it just some old doctrine, an old book, you know? We all know Christ is the all-inclusive land. I know all of that. I read that book. Or is it Christ in front of you right now with a fresh call? Come forward. Come forward deeper into the holiest of all. Come forward to God. That's Hebrews. It's just a constant call to come forward. Come into a new stage of your experience of this resurrected Christ. Come into a new areas of this land. Wherever the sole of your feet will tread upon, that will be yours. this vast land, there are still corners and places that you have not been to. Is 2024 a year for you to go to those places that you have not yet been to? We need to apply this word, brothers and sisters, so that we can have a new beginning this year, a fresh beginning in the deeper experiences of Christ. The second place where this is mentioned is in Exodus 40, the end of that book. In the first month, in the second year after they left Egypt, on the first day of the month, you see, the first day of the month, of a new month, of a new year, the tabernacle was raised up. There, the emphasis is what? Is not the land. There, the emphasis is a building. They came out of Egypt, but there is no tabernacle. There's no dwelling place of God in their midst. So they built, according to God's commandment, that tabernacle with all its furnishings, with the priesthood, and all of this that was done on the first day of the first month of the second year after they exit Egypt. And this is a new beginning, a new beginning. I would say, brothers and sisters, we need a new beginning in our church life, not just of the resurrected Christ, but of a new tabernacle, a new building. Yes, I say this strongly. Dear saints, is the church life old to you? Is the church life mundane and just routine, your church life, and just boring, or have lost its freshness? Or is this the first day and the first month of this tabernacle in your experience? How about this year? We have a new experience of a new church life. How about that? How about that as a call? How about that as a urge, a motivation within you? Not the same old church life, but Lord, I want a fresh church life, a new church life. I want to what? Experience your testimony, the tent of meeting, your expression and dwelling place on the earth. I want to experience your church, the church life, in a new way. How about that? I mean, I think even the whole church, a whole local church, maybe should have some time with the Lord in a prayer meeting just to do this. A collective renewal, a corporate consecration, right? A new, offering of our body, Romans 12, to prove his perfect will, which is the church life where you are. Don't let the church life get old. Not only are each of us need a renewal, our local church needs a renewal. And the glory of God filled it. Oh, let's not be contented with what we have. Every local church has to advance and have such a time. Many churches, Irvine, from the beginning, we all prayed until midnight, into the new year. That's a good practice. But I think we should not just pray into a new year. We should pray for a new church life in the new year. Call a special prayer meeting of the church together and pray this way for a new beginning. The third place where this is mentioned is in Ezra 7:9. And this has to do with what? This has to do with the return of the Children of Israel, excuse me. Let me look at here. Ezra 7:9, from captivity. It says, on the first day of the first month, he, that is Ezra, took the lead, began to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, they arrived into Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. So you're saying, and Brother Lee mentioned this third important item associated with the first day and the first month, and that is a return from captivity, a return to the promised land, a return to Jerusalem. Well, it's possible for some of us, we have gotten into some captivity this last period. It's possible we were enslaved, we were captured by the enemy, we got into Babylon, so to speak. And here, God, according to his promise, 70 years later, call them back, at least a group of people, to come back to Jerusalem to reap the good land, the land to rebuild the house, the temple, and the city. It's possible. You know, many of us came from Christianity, right, into the recovery. You remember that was a new beginning. That was a return from Babylon to Jerusalem. Oh, the Lord's recovery is new to you. Not only your local church, but your sense is, oh, I'm in the Lord's new recovery. I'm in the Lord's present move. I'm in the Lord's present recovery. Lord, I don't want to be old. I want to have that freshness of feeling that I'm part of your testimony. Part of your move on the earth today, part of your precious recovery today. And you have a fresh dedication to the Lord, a fresh consecration to the Lord for that. Yeah, I came in the 60s, but that's the 60s. That's not good enough. This is the 2020s. This is another century. The Lord has a present move, much more intense than 1962 or in the 60s. Am I right, brothers and sisters? It calls for a new consecration, a new beginning. Now, the very last one, the very last important item with the usage of this first month, first day, first month of the year, is in Second Chronicles. You go read it, chapter 29, verse 3. This is about King Hezekiah. You know, one of the good kings was not a perfect king. Eventually, he failed. But in the beginning, he was a good king who followed the ways of his forefather David. And he was blessed by Jehovah. So in the first year of his reign, you know, he was, I don't know how old he was, in his teens or whatever. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, again, he opened the doors of the house of Jehovah and repaired them. Okay? And in Ezekiel 45:18, this verse, you have to read this verse, Ezekiel 45:18. It says this, thus says the Lord Jehovah. This is about this new temple, huh? The vision of the temple there in Ezekiel. In the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a bull of the herd without blemish, and you shall purify the sanctuary. Purify the sanctuary. And so, here, You have this concept or this almost a practice of repairing something that is broken, yeah, and unlocking, opening the doors of something that has been boarded up. It's the temple of God. And you also have the thought here in Ezekiel of purification and or cleansing and sanctification, all of which occurred what on the first day of a new month in a certain year. They're commanded to do this. So this is a picture of what? This is a picture of the cleansing of the tabernacle, of the temple, of the purification of the sanctuary as a new beginning, as a new beginning. This shows us, dear brothers and sisters, there is a necessity. This is a necessity, a need. After a while, something got fallen into the temple of God, fell to disrepair. All right? It got defiled. It got locked up. It became unclean. You remember even the Lord cleansed the temple? It was so bad, the merchandising, the commerce, the defilement. This house of prayer has become something, a place of commerce. So God, the Lord Jesus, did some cleansing himself. So after a while, the same thing can happen to us. So we need a new beginning of cleansing and sanctifying. So Brother Lee said this, to cleanse the temple means that through our prayers and in our spirit, I call this through our dealings with the Lord, we have a clearance before God. We are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. And so to cleanse the temple means to what? To for us to be inwardly cleansed and sanctified to the Lord. And I would hasten to apply this, not number one, personally, individually, all of us are the abodes of God. All of us are little temples of the Lord. All right. But also corporately and collectively, the church, God's people, is also a temple of God. And in both cases, there is a need for periodic cleansing and purification and sanctification for a new start. And the way is for us, in Brother Lee's words, to have a clearance of all things of our past stage, our recent past, a clearance. By our making a thorough confession before the Lord. As the Lord touch us, I mentioned already, there would be confession. Lord, I've been defiled by this. Lord, this part has been locked up. And with another king, and I forgot the name, not Hezekiah, it says they found the book, a book in the house of God that have not read. And that is simply a book of the God's commandments, God's word. It is possible, brothers and sisters, that we have left the word of God somehow. So there needs to be confession. There needs to be clearance. There needs to be cleansing. There needs to be repair. And this is all by our going to the Lord to do that. It's regarding our person, our lives, our situation, our service, and collectively it may be about The elders, maybe the elders, you need a time on behalf of the church, representing the church elders, to spend the time with the Lord about your church with a thorough clearance and dealing, sanctifying ourselves, sanctifying the church, and by presenting and giving ourselves to the Lord once again. And with these good kings in their reign, they always did that because of the condition, wrong condition of the temple of God. So these four different beginnings, that is presented, enjoying Christ as the new land, the good land, raising up the tabernacle, leaving captivity, leaving the captivity to return to Jerusalem, and then the cleansing of the temple of God. That temple of God, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 3, refers to the inner temple in Greek, the inner temple. So Brother Lee said this, may the Lord lead us to pray much for the recovery of the all-inclusive Christ, the recovery of the genuine expression of such a Christ. May he also lead us. Now, this is on these 4 points of the first day, the first month of the year. May he also lead us to take possession of himself as the new land, to pray for the raising up of the tabernacle as the Lord's testimony among us. This is the church life, for the further building up of the local churches, local church where we are, to depart from the land of captivity to return to Jerusalem. It's possible, dear saints, that we in this or that have been captured in captivity a little bit. It's possible. Or our church life has become a little Babylonian in this or that. It's possible. We need a return. And then to have what? A thorough cleansing and clearance before him, and to sanctify ourselves as God's sanctuary, individually and then also corporately, to have a new beginning. So it's about 11 o'clock now. I'd like to stop here and we have a break and we come back again and I will say something to conclude my burden related to this matter of dealing with the Lord, and also related to our fresh seeking of him in this new stage.